You are listening to local and regional news produced by KMUN with help from our news partners. I'm Skylar Butenchen. It's Friday, April 11th. The second of two men who carried out a dramatic crime spree in Tillamook has now been sentenced. 30-year-old Taylor Holbert recently pled no contest to two counts of unlawful entry into a motor vehicle. He was sentenced to 2 years probation in the case. Holbert and James Woods began their crime spree early on the morning of October 8, 2023. Together, the men first stole a car from Burden's towing lot in downtown Tillamook, then went to the port of Tillamook Bay, where they stole a forklift and drove it into a car. They then drove through the glass entry to the Tillamook Air Museum, ransacked the museum lobby, and went on to vandalize several other nearby businesses. In March of last year, Woods pled no contest to six felonies and one misdemeanor. He was sentenced to time served in jail and was ordered to pay more than $50,000 in restitution. According to Tillamook County District Attorney Aubrey Olson, Holbert was also recently charged for driving under the influence last October and has since committed a probation violation. This story comes to us through a news partnership with the Tillamook Headlight Herald, online at tillamookheadlightherald.com. A recent study shows elevated levels of fecal bacteria in waterways in Cannon Beach, but it has been unable to pinpoint the source of human markers. The microbial study from the Oregon Department of Environmental Quality worked to identify the presence of fecal contamination in Chisana Creek, Ecola Creek, and Gower Street Creek. Chisana Creek is near the Tolavana outfall, and Gower Street Creek is near the Gower Street outfall. Those are the two locations where the city of Cannon Beach discharges wastewater. They both showed the highest levels of 10 nearby sites tested for human waste markers. State Water Quality Monitoring Coordinator Steve Hansen said that unclassified markers, known as ruminants, were detected the most in the study's samples. Cannon Beach Public Works Director Karen Labonte says the city has a permanent sign placed at the Gower Street outfall location warning the public not to enter the water. A lawsuit was filed last month in U.S. District Court in Portland by the Northwest Environmental Defense Center against the city of Cannon Beach. The lawsuit alleges that the city has been regularly discharging untreated human waste into its waterways, particularly near Haystack Rock and the south end of the city. The city has denied the lawsuit's allegations. This story comes to us through a news partnership with The Astorian. Read more online at dailyastorian.com. Over the past few years, ocean conditions have been fairly mixed for salmon. NWPB's senior environmental correspondent Courtney Flatt explains.
The ocean is where salmon spend a large part of their lives. That's why it's super important to know what's going on out there. It helps scientists better understand and predict how salmon are doing. For a long time, scientists have studied what salmon eat. They also know where salmon go and a lot more about their survival in the ocean. But that could change if scientists no longer have funding for research on National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration vessels. Here's Brian Burke with NOAA. He spoke at a Northwest Power and Conservation Council meeting.
It's important to recognize if we're not out there continually studying this changing system, it can revert to a black box. It could become this thing we no longer understand how things are working.
Burke says the ocean is also warming drastically because of climate change. He says that could have dramatic effects on the ecosystem. I'm Courtney Flatt, reporting.
The Trump administration has been dismantling federal environmental programs. Now it aims to attack state and local policies that fight climate change. An executive order argues that states, including Washington, are illegally restricting energy use. KUOW's John Ryan reports.
The president has ordered his attorney general to look for local laws that address climate change or environmental justice and recommend ways to stop them from being enforced. Seattle attorney Jan Hasselman is with the nonprofit Earth Justice.
This president doesn't have a plan. He doesn't have a strategy. He's just blustering. We here in Washington are proud of our climate laws, and we're going to fight to protect them if we have to.
Trump's order singles out policies such as the cap and trade system for carbon emissions that states, including Washington, have adopted. Under the U.S. Constitution, the president can't just overturn state laws he doesn't like. He has to prove those laws are illegal. I'm John Ryan reporting.
Research published by the American Medical Association shows that access to maternity care is decreasing, especially in rural communities. In Lewiston, Idaho, nurse midwives are taking on more hospital cases. Some data suggests that may be part of a growing trend. NWPB's Rachel Sun reports.
Every year, providers at Lewiston's St. Joseph Regional Medical Center deliver around 600 babies. Dr. Alex Watson is the only full-time obstetrician in town.
Most OBs would do probably 150 to 200 deliveries a year. Mm-hmm. Over 200 is quite a bit. You know, I just do what needs done.
Last year, he delivered around 270 of those babies. The Idaho Hospital continually ranks high in several maternity metrics. The team includes two nurse midwives.
I take call 24/7, and most nurse midwives don't do that either.
That's Andrea Hedrick, one of the nurse midwives working at St. Joe's. Hedrick has worked as a nurse midwife in the Valley for 14 years. She says she decided to pursue the career because of what she saw as a labor and delivery nurse.
Rough type of handling of women sometimes, seeing women not get like informed consent.
She says midwifery seems to be growing as a profession. It's difficult to find hard data on the field, but the Bureau of Labor Statistics projects higher than average growth in the industry. Hedrick says midwifery, whether it's home births or at a hospital, tends to prioritize building relationships with patients and letting them be involved in their care.
There's just a certain amount of emotion, and there's this connection with women that is very strong, and gosh, it's going to make me teary, but it makes it all worth it.
Hedrick says doctors today are a lot more open-minded to patients being involved in their own care. That's important because nurse midwives don't have the training to care for all the high-risk patients or emergency situations that a doctor can. Still, the midwife model of care resonates with a lot of moms. Midwives may also play a key role in smaller towns like Lewiston, which can struggle to bring in OBGYNs. Getting doctors to come to small towns can be hard for several reasons. One, Watson says, is that you end up on call more nights. Another is that docs in big cities can specialize more.
They find kind of a niche in the area of OBGYN that they like, and most of their practice is kind of settled on that. Whereas in communities such as this, we take care of everything.
State politics may also play a role in hospitals' ability to recruit doctors. According to the Idaho Coalition for Safe Healthcare, Idaho lost 22% of its practicing obstetricians following the implementation of its abortion ban.
You know, I'm not really here to tell you whether they're right or they're wrong and how I feel about them. What the general impact has is that it's made a lot of other physicians somewhat wary and very cautious about coming to states such as ours.
At hospitals like St. Joe's, labor and delivery units triage care, so nurse midwives like Hedrick take on more of the lower-risk pregnancies, allowing doctors like Watson to focus more on patients with complications, such as blood clotting disorders or cardiac issues. Even so, Hedrick says it's been a challenge. She delivered over 200 babies last year and recently started training to handle more serious emergency situations.
We just weren't in a situation, you know, 5 years ago that I even needed to think about that.
The hospital says it expects to add more staff within the next few months to help deliver all of those babies. Until then, Hedrick and Watson say they'll be on call when their patients need them. While I'm talking with Hedrick, someone stops in her office to tell her a mom-to-be has arrived in active labor.
All right, thanks. I'm going to go catch a baby.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
I'm Rachel Sun in Lewiston.
You're listening to news from KMUN. To hear us on the air and catch national news from NPR, tune in to 91.9 FM. Morning news begins at 7:59 every weekday. And of course, you will always be able to find today's local and regional news here at KMUN.org. To contact the KMUN News Department, email us at news1@KMUN.org. That's news, the numeral 1, @KMUN.org.